You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
With all the commissions of inquiries that are currently out there and all the investigations currently taking place, more and more it is becoming very apparent that safety and security are paramount if we are to navigate these interesting times more effectively. That includes for corporates, and part of that means that where corporate crimes do take place, we have to ensure that corporate evidence is preserved in any manner possible. We'll be taking a look at this in a bit more detail with the Chief Executive Officer at Loxton Forensics, David Loxton. He joins me on the line now to see what we make of this. David, lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's perhaps start with the role of digital evidence and the verifiable evidence that can be tracked and traced as a result of the fact that we live in a very digital society.
I think the easy way to look at it is you think of what we call street crimes, like a robbery. The smoking gun there is in fact the smoking gun. You know, that's your real evidence and easy to find. In white collar crime, it's not so much your smoking gun that is easy to find, but it's the digital evidence that is the most useful, and it's critical in investigating virtually every single white-collar crime one's involved in. And when we say digital, we're talking SMSs, WhatsApps, emails, you know, phone calls, all those nice things, which is the method of communication today. You know, you and I, all of us use WhatsApps, we use short messages, we use emails, and that is where one tracks the evidence, and that is the evidence that one needs to preserve so carefully.
Now, David, when we look at corporates and organizations, for many employees within organizations, you may be contributing towards a digital trail and not even being aware of it. Where is it that we start making mistakes, whether it's at an employer level, at a corporate level, at an employee level, where it relates to preserving this evidence and just understanding how important this evidence is?
I think the starting point is one needs to stay in one's lane. You know, so if you take my profession, the legal profession, we all specialize in some form or another. And there are a lot of attorneys that will back off criminal law because it's a very specialized field, and one needs to understand what is allowable in court, what one needs to present to a judge or a magistrate to obtain a conviction. And that is where one looks when it comes to the preservation of digital evidence. Your traditional IT departments are not, or very, very seldom, are they trained in digital forensic imaging and preservation of evidence. And that is where the mistakes are made and where the evidence can be destroyed. So that is the starting point, and that is where the mistakes are made. So I will always, when dealing with corporate clients, when they contact us and they say, look, we've had a fraud, or we suspect a case needs to be investigated, don't worry, our IT department is working on it. We'll say, stop the bus right there. Unless your IT department are forensically trained and they know how to present evidence to court, stop right there. Otherwise, the evidence will probably already be tainted. But that is the starting point, and that's where mistakes are made.
David, when we look at tainted evidence, what could the impact of that be in court cases, particularly where we look at cases of white-collar crime that finally hit the courts or that are presented in front of a judge, and the chain of custody of evidence, for example, becomes that much more important when presented in terms of being crucial towards the case?
Yeah, look, I think the point is when one needs to understand how the evidence needs to be presented. And you've already touched on one crucial point, which is the chain of custody. But it starts with the obtaining of the evidence. So by way of example, a trained forensic expert who's investigating or gathering evidence regarding emails or short messages and digital evidence, first thing he or she will do is make a copy. And they'll then work on the copy, because the minute you start working on the original source evidence, it becomes tainted. Dates and timestamps will change. I've even seen, you know, matters where the IT department will work on the original files and the original evidence whilst it is actually updating, and timestamps are changing. So that is where one starts. You make a copy. And then one also needs to very, very meticulously record every single aspect of the investigation, who did what when, and you know, basic details like I, David Loxton, ID number so-and-so, was engaged by SAFM at 4:15 on the such and such a date to investigate the following. I then took possession of this hard drive, serial number so-and-so. It's that particular detail which one will need to present to a judge or magistrate in court. Otherwise, it'll be inadmissible. Or you'll have defense counsel having a field day cross-examining and showing that the evidence is utterly unreliable. So one really needs to pay attention to detail and understand what it means to present evidence beyond reasonable doubt in a court.
David, before I let you go, I want to take a look at the responsibility to preserve evidence. We often find that because of the complexities around these conversations, many corporates, many individuals might feel it's just not my place, let me just let it go. But there is also a fiduciary responsibility here on the part, particularly of corporates, where it relates to the letters of the law. How do we balance what is actually responsibility and fiduciary duty and what is just wanting to stay clear of a very awkward situation?
Yeah, you've identified a very, very strong talking point and a point of contention. You know, as you point out, there are the fiduciary duties of your directors, fiduciary duties of various officers in a corporate, and they need to protect the interests of the company. And it's a balancing act because, you know, some of them will say to you, well, I have to protect the interests of the company, and that does not mean spending millions of rands on a forensic investigation when we can simply fire the perpetrator and get on with our lives and move on. Other individuals will say, well, my fiduciary duties extend to actually upskilling my people, minimizing the risk when it comes to fraud, so going more into the fraud prevention. So there are those balancing acts, but generally speaking, I think it would be fair to say that certainly your board of directors need to familiarize themselves from the risk aspect. What are the risks associated with having email servers and allowing employees to bring their own devices to work, for example, and working on the company servers? That is an aspect which I think really needs to have attention paid to in the corporate world in South Africa.
Corporate crimes are on the up, and it's important to stay safe around those crimes as they do seem to be getting more and more creative by the day. We'll have to leave the conversation on that note. David Loxton, Chief Executive Officer at Loxton Forensics, joining us to examine the corporate crime prevention measures that companies and individuals can put in place, especially where it relates to digital evidence.